Welcome to the Fantasy Golf Degenerates Podcast.
Jordan Bell, third. Jordan Bell, third. Yo, 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 yo. I've been getting dirty money, Jordan Bell, third. Penny stocks while I'm flipping these birds. Sipping on Ciroc, trip them up with the words. I done popped the Molly and I think it's be my third. Jordan Belfort. Jordan Belfort. I've been getting dirty money, Jordan Belfort. Jordan Belfort. I've been getting dirty money, Jordan Belfort. Second penny stocks while I'm flipping these birds. Jordan Belfort. Jordan
What is going on, DGEN Nation? Kenny Kim here, bringing you another Fantasy Golf Degenerates podcast with no voice because I was at the Honda Classic last week, because Sung Jae Him won. This is the way it's going to be this week. As usual, I am here with my partner in crime, back-to-back tips, Reed and Sung Jae, the last 2 weeks from my man, Tyler Tambourine. Tyler, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm with you on the voice situation here, and we'll get to the saga or the chronicles of Kenny Kim. But I mean, it was an amazing time, brother. It was a good time meeting you. It was just everyone that we met down there was amazing. I know we'll get to all of that, but overall, let's just talk about the event for a second. The event was incredible, and it just getting capped off. I mean, you send a Canadian and a Korean down to the Honda Classic, and you get a Korean and a Canadian 1-2 finish. It was meant to be, man. My boy Mac Hughes was out there grinding, but really trying to fuck some shit up with our im bets and whatnot. I know you didn't even have an im outright, but I don't know. I'm just all over the place. Seeing that video you tweeted out last night, I got off the plane late, and I saw the clip where they actually had you in the background yelling the Korean chant that we were going off. But I remember you coming off 17 and me being like, Kenny, get down here. He's right here. And you're like, oh, shit. I got to get up there. And we got up for his drive, and that was you in the background. So just some amazing stories that we'll get to. But overall, like you said, just an amazing event. It was so good. Everything about it. I'm getting too excited here. But Goin, what do you think about it? Tell me about the whole thing.
What a great fucking course, first off. I mean, you know, the rough was down. It wasn't even thick rough. It was a bit windy, but it wasn't crazy. But these guys were struggling out there. And it was sort of fun watching, you know, these premier golfers go out there and have this course just beat them down. And that's basically what it was. With no one shooting more than 66 is the best score. I think it's the first, I don't know, Justin Ray had some crazy stat. I think it's the first time no one shot 5 under or better in a tournament in God knows how long. The course was pristine. Even though the field wasn't that strong, it was a great event. I've been to about a dozen, maybe a little bit more than a dozen golf events in my life. I've seen Rory win the U.S. Open. I saw Rory win the Players last year. I've seen Tiger play. This event, hands down, the best event I ever went to. And it's not just because of the DFS Open or all the people that being down there. It was just the way the finish, those two birdies on 17 by Mac Hughes and Sung Jae Im. That's where we sat. We had some sweet tickets there, in that tent on 17. So that's where we were on Sunday. And like everybody was just struggling. I barely saw three birdies in the whole round. On that hole, it's like a 148-yard par three, you know. And then, you know, watching these guys, Sung Jae hit a 7-iron on that. I didn't realize it when I was on the course, but Sung Jae and Mac Hughes both hit a 7-iron from 148. I guess the wind was picking up. And the stones on Sung Jae, you know, right after Mac Hughes goes and drains that, 45, 50 footer, to tie the lead. And then Sung Jae goes and buries another 12 footer right on its back. That's some match play type shit. And if you look at what's been going on since the President's Cup, you got like five match play. You got five people who won that played in that President's Cup. You know, four of them internationals. Their confidence growing. They knew they could hang after being that close with the Americans. A lot of these younger guys now know it. They fucking belong. And Sung Jae belongs. What a great event. Go ahead, Tambo. What'd you think?
Just same thing you said. I mean, first off, the course blew me away. To your point, we got to, you know, I know you weren't quite there yet, but got to walk it with Harold Varner on his pro-am first nine. Got myself, JB, a couple others. We all went over and checked it out. And just getting able to walk the course like that, being able to see it from front to back, it's just so much, you know, water, bunkers. It's not really that crazy. Like, they had the rough cut down and all that, but it's just there's so much trouble, pressure, everything down the stretch. As you got to see, you know, you look at 18, and we'll get to the Fleetwood topic in a second, but I mean, everybody made the mistake. You know, Im went in the bunker. I thought that was in the water. Hughes went, you know, 80 yards to the left, somehow gets a drop right in front of the stands with that, you know, the way the drop rules work. But I mean, that was not a good shot. Just a lot of guys, you know, miss shot. Lowry in the water. All these guys down the stretch, big names. It's a tough shot on 18. The Mack Hughes bomb on 17, to your point, was just incredible, because when you yesterday, Joe and Ryan Baroff, who went out and set up the event for the DFS Open, they actually got to play it, same as the pros did on Sunday. Sunday pins, the tips, everything's the same. And they said the greens were like, you know, rock hard. Like, it was just like a 14 or something stupid. So for Mack Hughes to make that bomb on 17 was insane, to see it and then realize all that and think about the logistics of it after. And then for, you know, when we saw Im walk up, the approach shot, I know people hated us because just before that, we've been going nuts for an Im shot on another hole, and we were watching on the TV up in the suites while there's a guy putting right in front of us. So that was our bad, but we were in it to win it with Im. So it was great to see that. I'll say this. Only other tournament I went to, but I went three times, was the Waste Management Live. And this just trumps that by a mile. I don't care how good the party is. You know, I had the Skybox this year, thankful to Gup for getting us that. And then he even hooked us up with these sweet passes. So I've seen it, you know, from only those two points of a viewer perspective. But this was by far, you know, anything I couldn't, you know, beyond anything I could imagine. This is like 4 years in a row now that it's come down to the last shot. Like, everything matters in this tournament. It's not a runaway. It's a playoff is always on the line. Anything can happen. Anything goes. Mack Hughes being second place describes that quite well, I think. And yeah, overall, one of the best events of any sport that I've ever seen. It was just awesome.
Yeah, a bunch of Europeans. Like we said, these couple weeks, lots of Europeans. They play really well on these two courses. They're going to be heavy European presence, at least in my DFS lineups again this week. And then we got to talk about Fleetwood. Okay. He didn't play horrible, okay? You know, he had that little mistake on 13. There was some rumblings that it was the caddy's fault. Jason Sobel, who we met, really nice guy, said that his caddy, Ian, didn't have any, he said Tommy did not have enough club to make it, and, you know, made him club up a little bit, and it still hit the lip, and, you know, that was one of his bogeys. He made a mess of that hole. It was either a bogey or a double. But on 18, I don't really understand his thinking there. He's down by one. It's a par five. He's about 230 out. So he said in an interview afterwards that he had two options, either a crazy five-wood fade or a little bit of a draw with his four iron. I guess he was going for the gusto, but try to win it. But, I mean, you know, you get it somewhere just around the green. I know that bunker on the left is a little bit tough to get it up and down, but I think it's going to be an easier chance of birdie than trying to hit a crazy, you know, fade, from 240 yards where you have to, like, sort of not even a full swing because it would have been too much. It just didn't seem like it was the right play. And Azinger said what he said about, you know, the Europeans, you know, not getting PGA Tour wins, and PGA Tour wins are really what it's about. And I know a lot of Europeans are going to hate him for that. I understand that. But in the United States, you know, that's how most of the fans think. You know, you get the casual fan, which is the most of the fans of golf. You know, there's only a handful, I could say less than 10% are like diehard golf fans like we are, you know. And so, you know, when in the States, he just has that stigma as the guy who cannot close. I mean, sort of like, you know, a European Finau, but at least Finau has a goddamn win. And I think Fleetwood's a better player than Tony is, but he needs to get that W here soon, or it's going to be hanging over him for a very long time. And it's going to make every Sunday he's in contention harder and harder and harder. Because he knows people are talking about this. It has to be in the back of his mind. I don't think he made the right decision there on 18. I love Tommy. I want him to win. He was my highest owned golfer last week. So, of course, I wanted him to win. But the longer it goes without him winning the harder it is every time it's going to be when he's in contention. What do you think of that shot?
Yeah, I think it was what you said. We did a lot of talking about it after, you know, we got home and things like that. And I think it just comes down to maybe, like you said, when he makes that, you know, idea in his head with all the pressure that's there, everybody that's watching, it's sitting in front of him, this a little bit of, like you said, a stigma that's on him. Maybe he just said, you know what, let's not change what I've been doing. You know, why would I change now? This is, if I have this shot in, let's do this versus a strategy piece, to your point, where he could have just done the little drop there and then had a chance at Bird. I mean, that seems like the smarter way to go. As far as the Azinger stuff, I don't really care. I mean, I think Tommy validated it himself. He knows. He said it. He said, I got to get that PGA Tour win. So it's like you said, everyone thinks of it in that sense. It is true. I saw there's a running joke. Obviously, we're doing this, you know, pod a little bit behind. So this morning, someone had a good one that's gone a little bit viral about how Patrick Reed has, you know, majors, WGCs, a major, sorry, WGCs now, two of them, and a bunch of other wins. But he doesn't have his Euro win or whatever over there. So it must be tougher over there. And it's just, it's not true. The majors, the players, all these big tournaments, the Honda like this one, it's all what these guys are judged by, right, wrong, or indifferent. And Tommy said it too. He wants to get that monkey off his back. Look at Finau. He wants to get that monkey off his back. He's got the pro, but he knows that's not really validated. It's like winning a smaller, he's got like a GPP win. And it's like, maybe it was a one-hit thing. Even though he's up there all the time, you still need to get that other win to get that monkey off your back. So it's interesting to see what happens going forward. We're going to talk about it even for this week because he's right back at it again. Definitely still had a very good week. But yeah, Sungjae, man, he's here. 22 years old, five guys at the age of 22. We'll definitely relate that to some of the guys we talk about today as well.
Yeah, Sungjae's going to be good. This is the first of many for him because he was so calm and cool. And even after that chunk approach, that bunker shot after the chunk. Money. I mean, you have to hit that close to keep the lead and to make that bunker shot on that amount of pressure after flubbing your approach from 100 yards, you know, like 20 yards short. That takes a lot of guts, a lot of stones, and good for him. And speaking of GPPs, finally, it was a good week. You know, last month has been poor for me. Cash games have not been doing that well, but it was a strong week for me. All four cash games, Cornerstones, made it. I went 6-6 in cash in a week where I think 8% got 6-6. So that was an easy win. GPPs, I won in more than half of my entries. I had Tommy as my highest own. I had Sungjae as my third highest own. I had Berger as my fourth highest own, and Lowry was my second highest own. So everyone, all of them were top five, top 10. I just couldn't get the other two guys to match around to make a really, really solid lineup. But a lot of casting lineups, really good week. I know, Tambo, you hit the outright. How was your DFS week?
Yeah, DFS was down slightly. I would have had a really good week if Lucas Glover could have made a cut, because I had a lineup that was just crushing all through the first day and a half that had everybody. And in the end, it just would have been the difference. But yeah, the outright made my week huge. The other thing was, and we'll get into the stories in a minute, but I would kick it off with this one, was right before Gup posted that picture of you basically sleeping at the table after the DFS Open, you for some reason got into a conversation with him around Benny Ahn's number being incorrect at like 200-1 after he'd battled back from that +6. And I was like, let me check my book out. And it was 350-1. And so I hit it hard with the each way. And then I also hit it hard with the cash out option. I didn't get there on the cash out option like I probably could have. But the steal miss on 18 ended up forcing Benny Ahn back up into a T4. And even though it was chopped quite a bit, I put a good number on it. So it turned out to be a really good week betting-wise with the Sungjae outright, which I already had. And then that was the add-on that got lucky to get there. It was basically like free money. So I'll take that. Yeah, solid week overall.
Yeah, so before we talk about the week, I want to thank Ryan and Joe for setting it up, to do what they did and put all the effort down and make it such a success. The DFS Open, such a success. They raised almost $14,000 for the first tee. That's a lot of range balls for these kids. You know, I mean, kudos to them for setting it. I know logistically it could not have been easy. I want to thank them. I also want to thank Gup. Gup, he hooked us all up with the Airbnb. He was nothing but gracious, you know, took care of all the tickets and everything. One of the realest guys that I've met. And that's the thing about this event. Okay. So all of us have never met. Most of us that went down there have never met. So, you know, I'm telling my friends, yeah, I'm staying in a house with seven dudes I met on the internet. That doesn't seem like the safest thing to go to. You know what I'm saying? That does not seem like something that you should probably do. But you know what? It was great. The house is great. Everyone down there, it was so much fun meeting everyone. Like, you know, Feinberg, Mayo, Sobel, Moose. I mean, everyone you could dub, everyone you could think of, Raza, Rick Gaiman, everybody was down there. It was so much fun. You know, and the one thing I realize now is being almost 40 years old, I can't party like that very much longer for the rest of my life. Like, I am still hurt the fuck up right now. It's been like 32 hours since I had my last drink at the Honda Classic, which was like a whole bottle of Jameson at the strip club. We'll go into that in a second. But yeah, so the event was great. You know, the first night, you got to meet everyone. Everyone came over to the house. We had a big, huge fight about Spieth. I said Spieth will never win again. I might have went a little bit overboard on that, but I still believe that he is not going to be in the mix for a very, very long time. And then, you know, I will say the event itself, there was a lot of dime bristles and sundress sillies out there. I mean, I don't know why, like it's like my neck is still hurting right now from like turning and looking at all these beautiful women on this golf course. I guess that's what hot girls do in West Palm Beach. They go to the Honda Classic because there was plenty of them, and there was plenty of them at night. I will say the strip clubs down there, they're okay. You spend enough money, you will have a good time. That's as far as I'll go on that one. You will have a good time if you spend enough money on that strip. I mean, the first night we went, and I'm not going to say names. I know people are married. So let's just say me and every single guy was there going to the strip club. And on the way there, the person driving, I'm not going to say names again, but the person driving, let's say he was a big guy in the industry. I'll put it there. We're on the way there. And then all of a sudden, like, we're about to get there and we hit something. I have no idea what we hit. All I know is like my head hit the ceiling of the car. My glasses flew almost out the window. I have no idea what happened. I was like, did we kill somebody? Like, what the fuck just happened? Almost died on the way to the strip club. I almost died a couple times that week. Almost died on the way to the strip club. We get to the strip club and I guess they bring in girls for this event because these were like tans, like there was plenty of them. It was a great time. You know, I spent probably $2,800 for the whole week, and I spent like over $2,000 at this strip club tonight. so that's how the week went for me. And then let's say on and then the tournament itself, the DFS Open, we played okay. I got home at like 4:30 in the morning that night or something like that. And we had to play at like, you know, 6 o'clock. And so it was a struggle. Like it really, really hurt. I had a couple of drinks. I felt a lot better, but then I was done. Like I literally fell asleep eating food. Like I had a burger in my mouth and I fell asleep with a burger in my mouth. And then we played okay, Jambo, right? I say we played all right. I mean,
yeah, you hit that huge shot at the end. So we needed the birdie streak on the way out. And we're, you know, it's a par five. We get there. We get over the green in two. Gupp is just a monster off the tee. And then, you know, between the four guys of us shooting, we put it over the back. We got Baroff to come in for a celebrity guest shot to help me. I said, I don't got this shot in my bag. I said, you could try it for me. And then Kenny goes up and just puts it to like 2 feet. And so that was our tap in to end out. And it was strong. So this is one of my favorite stories just because it's hilarious and it's the true degen in us. But after that, all of a sudden word gets in because we're one of the last groups coming in that there's about to be a playoff go down. And because they want us off the course, the playoff has to be the two teams that are minus 15. So for perspective, we came like fourth last of the 22 teams or whatever. We are four under. The two leading teams were 15 under, bunch of studs, dudes that are scratch golfers, whatever. And then they got to go and pick their best to go up. And it's a playoff hole on the par five. And we're thinking, I'm like, holy shit, this is playoff golf. Like, everyone's going to want to be there. We're all huge golf fans. We're all degenerates. No, nobody goes except the two teams. And then Kenny and I hop in a cart, barrel down, got our buzz on, cruising down the path, almost tipping the cart, flying over to get down to the tee box so we can watch this thing, play some bets, get up there. The first guy goes out of bounds. They're all looking for his ball. Kenny and I drive down, and I'm like, should we fucking help this guy? Like, we're both hurting units. And he's like, nah, dog, fuck that. That they got Slugger White over there with them. They had some like rules dude from the course that was there. He's like, but I tell you what, if they go over 3 minutes, I'm gonna call them out. And so he gave he put him on the clock. Guy can't find his ball. The other guy's the fairway. Gets it down. We're chasing him the whole course. Again, only two people down there. He's like, we're true fucking degenerates, dog. He's like, this is sick. And we go down. The guy puts it up. It ends up being that they're both on the green, one for par, one for birdie. The guy goes for his par, gives the other guy the read, misses by like a hair, taps it in, and the other guy drains a sick birdie from like 18 feet. Kenny posted it on Twitter to close this thing out. And him and I are in our glory, and nobody else gives a fuck. So I thought that was the definition of the true degens, being out there for this, for the DFS Open with pretty much nothing on the line but a few bucks. But yeah, it was an awesome course to play. And again, echoing what you said, just to close it out, thanking Ryan, Joe for the event preparation. It was basically the Fyre Festival, but the complete fucking opposite. They nailed it on every, you know, way, shape, form that you could think of. I'm excited for next year. I'm already disappointed that the Honda got moved back a month, because that means 13 months till we get to do this again versus 12. But hoping for some other things along the way that, you know, because of these great relationships that we built and met these people, that we can make up for them. Also, to your point, Echo, just thank Gup. Did everything for us, put everything on the line. You know, I can't thank the guy enough for everything, not just for this, but, you know, it was an awesome time having us all together and really took care of us. Great week overall.
Yeah, I could say now I'm probably not going to have a drink for another few days because my liver is angry with me. My voice is angry with me as well. Yeah, even Sunday after the win, I was pretty smart. I didn't drink too much on the course, so I can actually remember what happened while the golf was going on. But once the sun went down, it was over. Sunday was great because, you know, I walk in to that same strip club, and I guess they remember me. They ship us right into the VIP section. So and we had a bottle of the Tito's and a bottle of Jameson, and it was only like two people with me. So it was a great time. It was so much fun meeting everyone. But once a year, probably enough for me on that, because I'm still hurting after that. All right, let's move on. We've gone a little bit longer than we normally do in this thing. Let's go move on to the Listener League. Tambo, why don't you tell them about our Listener League?
Yeah, it's going to be same as last week, guys. You know, they challenged us to fill it, to get to 3,000. They want to do less. As I told you guys, again, shout out DGen Nation. Everybody hooked it up. We filled it faster. I think it was the second fastest we've ever filled a league at 3,000. So it was just the support, the community getting behind it. Love to see it. This week, it's going to be all the same. So nothing's changing. 3,000. The goal was it's basically proof of concept. We didn't go up this week because if we can fill this week again, it gives them for next week, the players. It's going to be a big event. We got an awesome guest coming on, a Sundog Monkey from Twitter. If you don't follow him, you should check him out. He's down there right now. He's going to be posting out some stuff this week for the Bay Hill, the Arnold Palmer Invitational from Bay Hill, and it's going to be awesome to have him on next week. So this week's the same. 3,000 people, $5, 3 max, $2,000 up top. You know, you get in the three men, you get in the year-end long contest and everything from there. But we got a winner this week, W.W. Hughes 10, Kenny.
Before we talk, let's talk about Sundog Monkey Martin. He's going to be at Bay Hill. He's going to be at the players next week when he's on the pod. He's gone to the players live, I think, the last two or three years. He knows the course very well. He knows what to look for. Next week is going to be a big pod with him on. It's going to be good. You got to tune in. But let's go to our winner this week, WW Hughes 10 with a Fantasy National Golf Club little emblem. Shout out to Moose. Really, really cool guy. Let's see. He had 449.5 points. Started off with Gary Woodland, one of the Cash Game cornerstones. Finished in eighth with 70.5. He had Sungjae Tambo's outright, 103.5 points, finishing first. Benny Han, we both like, who had an amazing 3 days, really, going from being out of it to come back to where he was. And I have no idea where that came from. Like, I was literally passed the fuck out. And I was like, wait a second, Benny Han's even? Let me wake up for 30 seconds, check his number. 201, we're in. It was close. And he cut each way. So that worked out. Benny finished fourth, 78 points. Wyndham Clark finished 11th, 73 points. KH Lee finished 38th with 52 points. And Cameron Davis, who's been playing really good golf. We talked about him last week. He finished in eighth with 72.5 points. What do you think?
Yeah, dialed in. It's all the guys we like. You know, your Woodland play from your Cash Game Cornerstones. M, who we were all over on, same thing. Cameron Davis. KH Lee was the interesting one, and he did end up being the lowest scoring, but you know, he definitely had a reason to play him coming in. So getting him at 5% was nice. And then, yeah, Wyndham Clark is just a nice way to round it out. But to your point, yeah, it was a tougher event. So for the first time in a while, we've seen where it's come down to the wire, won by just 0.5. So we'll see him in the three-man this week. Shout out to WW Hughes 10 with Mac Hughes' namesake in his name, but didn't have him in his lineup.
Yeah, shout out to Dusty Bottoms for winning the four man last week. I was the only one with 6-6, and I didn't even win.
Yeah, so, that was payback for us leaving his ass out. He said, "I'm going to get these guys."
He had a great lineup, so kudos to him. And like since we rose this listener league, it's been a lot tougher to win these three mans. These guys winning the listener league are really really good players. So before we get into this course, let's talk about GubsCorner.com. Use promo code DGEN20, save 20% off a subscription. The Gubs Corner right now, their tools section is growing and growing. They're adding something new here soon where you can actually plug your DK handle in and it'll spit out all the contests that you're in, like where you're at in the contest, the ownership of that contest. Really, really cool stuff like your 5-6%, your 6-6%. It'll have all that listed there, plus all the other great tools, the raw numbers, the data. You get my article, you get Tambo's article, you get Gup's rankings. I think Gup had like Fleetwood and Westy as two of his top plays. We had the Westwood play last week from Gup, and that was a hell of a fucking pick right there by him because it's not like Westwood.
I mean, yeah, his final thoughts were Fleetwood, M, and Westwood, and they all like Fleetwood, M, right up there. Westwood was there, and no one was on some of those guys. So I mean, it was nice to see.
Gup knows what the fuck he's doing. Okay, so you know you get all that going. It's a great value, and once again, it's not just golf; it's every sport out there. Gambling, DFS, contests. Get on it. Use promo code DGEN20 right now. Get yourself 20% off. All right, so let's get to the course. The PGA Tour heads to Orlando, Florida this week for the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill Club and Lodge. The field had been getting a little bit weaker prior to last year. You know. But now with, you know, the match play no longer being the next week and the Masters more than a month away instead of 3 weeks away, you know, we're going to have a lot more better golfers playing this event and show it this week with like really, really top-notch field. And of course, the field is a little bit smaller than most weeks being an invitational. It's 120 golfers in the event with top 65 and ties making the cut. And of course, the winner, with these type of events, instead of getting a 2-year exemption, they get a 3-year exemption. So it's a big deal, this tournament. There were some major changes to the course in 2009. So looking at course history and trends from 2010 to now is probably your best play. In two of the last 5 years, the course has played easier because in 2015, there were problems with the green. So they rolled very slow and weren't as firm as usual. Because of the worm infestation of the greens in 2015, they redid all the putting surfaces for the 2016 tournament, which would make you think that sticking approaches close would be more difficult. But the lack of wind and the silky smooth Tiff Eagle Bermuda greens made the course play as only the 28th hardest course out of 50 in 2016. Now, the last 3 years, the course has really showed its teeth. In 2017, there was more strong winds, especially on the weekend, no rain, which made the course play really firm and fast. 2 years ago, the course continued to play difficult. It was the 15th hardest course on tour. And last year, with the firm conditions, it was the 9th most difficult course on tour. Now, as you can see, poor weather and wind can cause havoc at Bay Hill. And this year might be one of the most difficult tests yet, with projected winds over 20 miles per hour each day. Subtle changes to the course a couple of years ago could also be a reason why Bay Hill has played so tough in 2018 and 2019. The main difference is they trimmed the rough around the hazards, so golfers no longer have thick rough as a backstop to stop balls from going into the water and bunkers, especially around the greens. All right, so now let's get to the meat of the course. Bay Hill is a 7,450-yard par 72 with 4 par 3s and 4 par 5s. It has a good mixture of holes where bombing it off the tee will sometimes be an advantage, and sometimes placing it in the right spot with a 3-wood or hybrid will be the right play. It is still a less-than-driver course, but the par 5s are reachable in 2 by most if the course is firm, and length off the tee will be helpful for those holes. Off the tee, golfers will face wide tree-lined fairways with strategically placed bunkers on almost every tee shot and water in play on nearly half the holes. Many dog legs, water, and thick rough will make golfers focus more on accuracy than distance. Even though the fairways are above average in width, there are many slopes and undulations, and it can be really firm. So sometimes a good-looking drive off the tee can still find the thick rough with a bad bounce or a bad rollout. On approach shots, golfers will see firm Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass greens that are elevated on some holes, surrounded by bunkers and thick rough. average with their average in size with a lot of speed, 12.5 on the stimp or more. And many have slopes and runoff areas, especially in front of the green. Water will come into play on wayward approach shots, and if the wind does pick up, watch for plenty of drives and approaches in the water. Before we get into the stats, Tambo, why don't you tell them about Thrive Fantasy?
Yeah, I want you guys to come check out Thrive Fantasy with us. PropOp, it's a daily fantasy sports app for player props. Basically, they've eliminated the need to do countless hours of research because you could select only the top-tier athletes in the selected sport, which for our case is PGA. There's 10 props to pick from. You've got to pick five, and then you pick a tiebreaker or two, depending on the buy-in level. They associate points with the over or the under on the set prop. The more points a selection is worth, the riskier it is. So whoever racks up the most fantasy points to win gets a share of the prize pool. And then they also change it so they only do new contests each day. So you don't got to worry about making the cut or what your weekend golf looks like or anything like that. It's just daily contests, over $10,000 guaranteed in prizes weekly for PGA. Promo code DGEN, D-E-G-E-N, when you sign up, will get you an instant match up to $25 on your first deposit. So head on over to ThriveFantasy.com or on the App Store and use promo code DGEN, D-E-G-E-N, on your first deposit.
All right, let's get to the stats. Who are you looking at, Tambo?
Yeah, tee to green approach. You just talked about it. I mean, it's huge here. Birdies are better. The scoring can get there. The wind is going to be something to look out for. Par five scoring, to your point, is pretty much all reachable. So that's going to be a big difference. And then a lot of long irons. So proximity 200 plus. And then just throwing a little bit of putting, bogey avoidance maybe at the bottom end. But yeah, mainly all to do with just great golfers in form, tee to green, on approach. I think course history will get talked up quite a bit this week. And while it, you know, can matter and does matter some, I'm definitely going based off just what I saw last week. It's going to be similar in the sense of it's not really a spot to get right or fix your game, right? You got to have a strong game to win here, and that's the way it should be. So I like that call, and I like seeing that in my guys that I'm picking this week.
Yeah, the proximity from 200 yards, 200 plus yards, I think is going to be important. And with the wind, with so many shots where you're hitting longer irons here, and the wind being picked up, I'll look at a little around the green as well, because you got to figure there's going to be a bunch of missed greens if there's so many long iron shots and the wind is going to be up. All right, so let's get to these tiers up here. In the 10K range this week, we have Xander all the way up to Rory. What you doing up here, buddy?
Yeah, I got to go with Rory out of the gate. Class of the field. Vegas knows it. Everyone knows it. I think I just saw the stat. Everyone's going to look at his last five with five top fives and a win, but it's like his last 10 is like – seven or eight top fives with two wins, a ninth and a 26. So it's eight top fives, including two wins, and then a ninth and a 26. So he is who he is. I think his price should probably be higher, but that's not what DraftKings does, right? They keep their price 12K and below type deal. But you could make a case that Rory could be something like 13 grand this week if they're willing to extend their tiers out. So I think he's a class above, not just because Fleetwood just choked it again or whatever you want to say he did, or Matsuyama should never be five figures, in my opinion. Or Bryson maybe has it or maybe doesn't. But I really like Rory the most. My second one, though, will be really the only other one up here is you know, going away from Bryson, who I think will get a little bit of love goes on, as the week goes on. And I'm sure, you know, a capable play for something that you'll use him for. But I'm just not in love with these two results and saying that it's a be-all, end-all. I know he's a great golfer. I know it's, you know, we love to see it, but it's $10,400. You know, Schauffele is $10,000. I like X. Stats, long irons, greens and regulation, form has still been solid, and 10K goes a long way if you even start your lineups with him. So I do like X and then Rory up at the very top. What about you?
I love Rory. Rory's going to be my favorite play. I don't think there's any reason not to get him. And the thing is, in this event, when you're looking at roster construction, it's very easy to go stars and scrubs this week, and I think that's the play. I think if you go balanced, it's probably going to be contrarian because of how stacked even the 7K ranges and some of those guys in the high 6K range. I mean, I can make Roy Xander in lineup pretty easily. And I like Xander. You went over Roy. That's good enough. And I like Xander a lot too. I mean, if you look at X, you know, he gained 10.2 strokes with his approaches the other week. His putting has been the reason why he's been struggling, but not getting as high as a finish as he can. But he's lost strokes putting in his last three events played. He has never in his career lost strokes putting in four straight events. Normally, a pretty damn good putter. He's been struggling a little bit, but I'm hoping he gets off that schneid because his iron game is going to be very strong. Normally good off the tee, even though he struggled a little bit in Mexico. But I like that price. I like Xander. But my first cash game, Cornerstone, it's going to be Bryson. Bryson gained 19.3 strokes tee to green in his last two events, 5.8 strokes with his approaches. One of the better longer iron players out there, 13th in proximity from 200 plus in the last 50 rounds in this field. Top 10 in strokes gained par 5, top 20 in strokes gained par 4, top 25 in bogey avoidance, top 15 in greens and regulation. Makes a ton of birdies, 7th in tee to green. And I think one aspect that is going to help him a lot now with his new drive, because not only is his new drive exceptionally long, it's very high. And there's a lot of dog legs here. It depends on how aggressive Bryson wants to be. But if he wants to be aggressive, he can cut some of these corners, not even cut the corners, just go over the trees with that drive. It could give him a huge advantage in this type of course with a lot of shorter irons compared to other golfers. It depends on how risky he wants to get. And this could backfire, but I don't think he's going to miss the cut. But, you know, the way he's hitting his drives, he's not, when he misses, he's not missing by much. It's not like, you know, you would think when someone gains that much more on his drive, he's averaging over 10 yards more on his drive average this year, you know, this season compared to last. You know, you would think a lot of the times when that happens, guys would spray it more, but he's not really spraying it. When he misses, he's just missing. Now, his iron game has been better the last couple of times, you know, the last couple of times out, and I'm hoping that continues. And I like Bryson a lot this week, and he'll be my first cash game cornerstone. Let's go to this 9K range. Tambo, go ahead.
Fine. I'll play Bryson if you say so. God, that was long-winded for one guy. You love Bryson this week.
I
was gonna, I was gonna try and get a quick take on Matsuyama from you, but I guess it's clear.
Here's the thing about Deki. The one reason I'm not really sure about Deki. Hold on, I wrote this down. Go ahead and talk, and I'll come back.
I'll go into the 9K range. I think, like you said, it's going to be maybe a little bit skipped over just for certain reasons. Like, a lot of people don't like to go back to a winner, so maybe not him. You know, Reed's normally not popular. He's coming off a win himself, but doesn't have, you know, the best, you know, sort of setup for this course. So when you look at the stats and that sort of thing, Fowler, nobody likes to play. Koepka's been off his game day, all those guys. But for me, I really like Scott. I think we saw it, you know, form is great, has some of the best long irons on tour, very, very much well and, you know, experienced with this course, playing it 10 times in the past. So I think he could be all right. I never mind, you know, Koepka when he's at 9,200. I know he's playing like shit right now, but he can easily be your third guy into the builds. Like you said, with a different type of stars and scrubs approach where you're using him as like third guy into a balance. It's basically balanced scrubs if you do it like that. So he's fine. And then I like Rose and Finau. You know, that's getting down into the 8,900 range with Finau, but sort of those two guys to round out the lower end nines, upper end eights.
Okay, going back to Deki, here's the one thing I noticed about him. He's played this course 5 times, and it's a small sample size, so, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But, you know, the 2 times he played pretty well here, 21st in 2015, 6th in 2016, those are the 2 easiest times the course was played. I mean, it was outside the top 25 hardest courses on tour those 2 years. The course played very, very easy those 2 years, and he played pretty well. Since then, the last 3 years, the course has played exceptionally tough. And in those 3 years, 45th, 49th, 33rd. He just hasn't played well when the conditions and the course has not been as easy as it was the first 2 times he's played. Now, again, small sample size, different years, you know, whatever. There's plenty of arguments against what I just said. But, you know, you have to pick all 5 of these guys up top. You know, I mean, they're pretty damn close other than Rory. I think Rory's far and away the best. But the other 4 are pretty damn close. So you have to pick and choose with what you're going to look at. And that sort of worries me about Deki, his struggles when this course has played difficult. And I expect this course to play difficult this week. With the lack of rain, it's going to be firm, and the wind is going to be up. Let's get to this 9K range. I'm not the biggest fan of this range. That's why I think I'm going to go starting a lot with, you know, Rory, Bryson, Xander. You know, those are going to be the one I want to start with. One thing I did like, if you read Ben Coley's article, just came out a little bit earlier today, what you saw with Ricky, he had a month off. He shot, 76 on the first day at Honda. Came back with a 68 on Sunday. Iron game was a lot better. He had an eagle putt, a 12-foot eagle putt on 18 to make the cut. It felt like he sort of got his mojo back a little bit on Friday. And, you know, since he hasn't been playing very well, the form isn't that good. I don't think he'll be exceptionally high owned. He's really good with his long irons as well. So I like Ricky, and I think I'll play a little bit of Scott just like you. And I don't see a reason why not to play Sungjae again.
Right.
It's not like this guy goes out and he lives with his parents. You know, it's not like he's going out and partying and shit. Like after his victory, I'm sure he went home, ate some like kimchi jjigae or some sort of Korean dish that his mom cooked and went the fuck to bed. You know, cash a check. That's just what I'm thinking about Sungjae. You know, when I was a young Korean, you know, and I was still living with my parents, that's the way it was, you know. And so I wasn't going out. They were pretty strict. You're straight chilling. And I feel like his parents are probably very, very similar. So I have no problem with Sungjae again at 9,500, but I'm not the biggest fan of golfers in this range. Like I said, the form really isn't there. I'm thinking about Day, but I'm not really sure. Fowler is one I want to play. I'm going to take Ben's lead on that. But other than that, it's 50-50 for him and Scott for me, because it depends on how my builds go with how I go about this top end. So let's move to this 8K range. I'm going to start off with my second cash game cornerstone. And this one is going to be a course history special, I guess. I know this hasn't really suited me too much this season yet so far. But Henrik, you know, he's made the cut here. He's missed like one cut here and like 875 chances. The guy loves this course. And the thing is, the numbers are there to show it as well. It's not like I'm just going straight course history, straight gut. But in his last 50 events on the PGA Tour, he's second in his field in stroke gain approach. His long iron game, one of the best out there. I like his bogey avoidance too. Third in this field in bogey avoidance in the last 50 rounds. So I like Henrik Stenson. He'll be my second cash game cornerstone. My third cash game cornerstone, going down a little bit down in this range, is going to be Tyrrell Hatton at $8,100. His sixth place at Mexico was incredibly impressive. He had been out of golf for, 3 months? First time back, and before he had a surgery on his wrist, he was playing exceptional golf leading up to that surgery. Had the surgery, came back. I didn't think he could come back and do it his first time off that with that many, you know, weeks off. But the guy has been straight balling. And, you know, that sixth place finish is there. 20 birdies in Mexico. He had 23 at the WGC, which is the event that he had before that. Good on Bermudas. Good long iron player. So I like a good wind player as well. Both Stenson and Hatton, both good wind players. I like those guys a lot. Other guys I like in this range, I like Leishman. Leishman's game this year, his iron game has probably been the best it's been in a long time for him. You know, with his win a few weeks ago, Riviera, it was a lot of the putter. But, like, the reason why he hasn't been better in other events is the putter. And he's normally, you know, top 40 in strokes gained putting, top 50 in strokes gained putting every year. And it sort of let him down this year. If he can get back on track with this putter and how strong his iron game has been this season, and he's really good with his longer irons as well. I'm a fan. And of course, Bermuda, his best putting surface. So I'm hoping that putting gets back in the form with everything else surrounding him, with that good iron game, and he gets back into it this week. Who do you like in this range?
Mentioned Finau already. You know, I always like Finau when he's under 9K. Stats, recent form. Last two times he played here, he's been decent. He's a much better golfer. But before the most recent 51st, he was 2nd, 6th, 14th, and 5th. Under 9K, I think that's fair. Definitely like him, especially if Stenson's going to be more popular just due to the course history stuff. I like your call on Stenson. I just like the guys around him more. My big one here is going to be Benny Ahn. I think, you know, 10th and 14th the last 2 years here. Definitely like, you know, the recent form. He's just coming off the 4th at the Honda. We know he's dialed in, battling back from that. So the mental state is there. And now you get the Korean motivation factor, right? You just saw Im win. I think is he 28 or 26 to Im's 22? I can't remember how much older he is. I think he's 26 or 28. And so, I mean, he wants to get this win. We've been waiting a while for that. So I think that'll be huge motivation. So if you're just looking for a good GPP target that's got, you know, cut-making ability, upside is there. I think he's a great play at 8,700. I do like your Leishman call. The one you didn't mention, who I thought you might, who I really like this week, is Morikawa. Amazing tee to green player, crushes it on approach, good form, nice setup for him here. Hasn't had as much upside recently, but again, this is the type of course I can see him do it at. Only played here once a couple years ago and did make the cut. So I think he's a fine play at 8,400. My second T3PO, the first one was going to be Xander over Bryson. My second one is going to be Hatton over Westwood. And I don't know. I just feel like because everyone saw Westwood come off that good result last week, I don't know how much they'll be looking into it. And I actually think Hatton normally gets less ownership when he's up over 8K. So maybe he's not lesser owned. If not, then call it me taking a stand. But Westwood was pretty much, you know, the damage he did was mostly all putter. And Hatton's got everything, right? He's got, like you talked about, you went in on him enough, I think. But the form, the history, coming back off the wrist, all of those factors. He's just a good all-around player. And I think he's a fair price. And the last one I'm not really super sure about. I think he should be super chalky with, you know, stats and form and all that stuff. But I'll probably have to have some of them. And that's Victor Hovland at $8,000. What's your take on him? And then maybe you go into the 7K after that.
He's on the list. I'm not 100% sure what I'm doing with Hovland yet, but, you know, he's on the list. The guy's really good with his longer irons, hits a ton of greens, you know, avoids bogeys enough, birdies, iron game is strong. It seems like everything is there for him to do well, but I want to know how much of a hangover he's going to have after his victory the other week. So, because he didn't play well at all last week. The one thing I will say about Hovland is what we noticed when we were at the event, even when he missed the cut, he came back every day and worked and grinded with his coach on course. So it's not like he's resting on his laurels, I guess. So
yeah, I was going to say one thing with the coach. You just mentioned, I just saw it today, this morning, again, the benefit of doing this pod a little bit later. Luke Kierdinen, he's on Twitter, LKD. He posted out that apparently Victor Hovland has enlisted Pete Cohen, the same guy who works with Brooks, Stenson, and Rory, plus a bazillion others, in his words, to help with his wedges. Bye, bye, bye. And I think that's right. I think he knows what he needs to work on. Everything else is so dialed in. If he's working on that, man, these guys, that's the thing about these, you know, Ims, Hovlands, Morikawas, Wolfs, Niemans, those 5 22-year-olds that got the win on tour in the last year, they're all just grinders, man. They're just working away to be the next level of this game, the next, you know, era of this game. And that's awesome to hear. So I think Hovland is still a good play. I just wonder how popular he'll get this week with a guy like Homa right underneath them at 7,900.
Yeah, well, let's go to the 7K range. Tambo, go ahead.
Yeah, I like Homa. I think it's a nice GPP pivot to Hovland. You know, his insane form, 5th, 14th, 6th, 9th. Don't care that he's a first-timer. He's playing great golf right now. Really good with those 200-plus long iron shots and just a different golfer. Like I said, than what we've seen in the past, you know, year or whatever you want to talk about, he's just only got better. So if Hovland's going to get extremely popular, I do like him as a nice little GPP pivot. We'll see how that plays out by the end of the week. The one other guy here, and if this guy's not massive chalk, then I'll be not all in, but he'll be definitely one of my highest owned, is Answer. You know, 7,800 just seems plain wrong for form and upside. I'm not sure if he's, you know, what you want to call a chalk lock, where I would just plug him in even if he is owned, because he's just an excellent play. He's got the upside. Just saw him win. He's another President's Cup guy. To your point earlier, we've just seen these guys continuously win. Him and him were the two that I was saying for the whole year I'm on, no matter what. And so to see that he's only 7,800, I think that's crazy for any tournament. So I'll definitely be in on Answer. Keep going down. My next and final T3 barrel is going to be Scheffler over RCB. I think RCB will get bumped up. I think, you know, you'll talk about him here. But I think Scheffler, well, here's the thing. I see RCB already getting talked up a few places, and I don't really hate the play. I know Vegas odds have him much better, so I think that's going to help with his ownership. But I like Scheffler's stats, and he's just another guy that can get motivated off the Sungjae Im. I think he'd be next, wouldn't he, right? You see Sungjae get his win now. It's kind of like, where's Scheffler's at? And it just continuously keeps going like that with some of these guys. And I think it actually works, to my point earlier, of how these guys are grinding and taking this stuff personal and serious. And, you know, not that everyone else isn't. I just think it's a lot easier. You talk about like a guy who you mentioned all the time, like Ryan Palmer, getting that win with Rahm. It's not that he's trying to slack off and lose now. It's just that he's not in the super grind mode that he just has to win every tournament. He's, you know, is he trying? Yes, of course. They don't show up to not try. But it's not the same pressure or feeling that he once had before. A guy like Scheffler is now going to get the next round of pressure. You know, him and I think Hovland still qualifies for Rookie of the Year this year, the way his starts went last year. But it's going to kind of be between him and that. And so now he needs to get a win. He needs to go out and have big results. So at 7,700, I think there's more than enough upside there. And then just to round out the 75 and up, Niemann, who we talk about all the time, maybe off people's radars just with a couple of missed cuts. And then JT Poston keeps posting top 30s, top 40s. Like, he's just out there doing it, man. 100-1, you know, betting. But if you look at his results recently, it's just been awesome the last four for this price tag. And I think we know from watching him this week and talking about him for showdown plays and things like that when we were there live, that he's got more upside in him. So at 7,600, I don't mind him at all as well. Who do you got?
Yeah, so my last cash game cornerstone is RCB, Rafa Cabrera Bale. The thing about him is he's missed two non-major cuts on the PGA Tour in the last 2 years. Two in the last 2 years is how many cuts. So in cash, you want the made cuts. And the thing about him is, you know, he's a good Bermuda putter. He's good on difficult courses. I think this is going to be a difficult course this year. He has struggled a bit with his longer irons, but recently he's been a lot better from 200 plus. It seems like he's improving that part of his game, at least in the last three or four events that he's played. So he's going to be my final cash game cornerstone, my four cash game cornerstones this week. Bryson DeChambeau at 10,400. We got Henrik Stenson at 8,800. We got Tyrell Hatton, at 8,100. And Rafael Cabrera Bello at 7,600. This is going to leave you around 15,000, maybe a little bit more, like 15,100 to finish out the rest of your lineups. But like this 7K range is stacked. That's why I like going with two big dogs up top. I mean, if you look at the winners here, or the people that were in contention the last 4 years, you got Molinari when he was balling last year. You won Rory, Fleetwood last year. The year before that, Rory, Bryson, Rose, Stenson, Tiger. The year before that, Rory, Leishman, Hatton, Molinari, Fleetwood, Fowler. The year before that, Day, Decky, Zach Johnson, when he was better. You know, Molinari, Rose. I mean, it's a lot of these top dogs that do well here. So to do that, you got to have to play a bunch of these 7K guys, and they are there. And up top, I love Answer. Like you said, I think the President's Cup, for the young international players in the President's Cup, that was a huge thing to build confidence. It realized and made them realize that they can compete with these big boys, you know, week in and week out. It was just a huge, even though they lost, it was still such a huge day mentally, I think, for these international players. And so I like Answer. I like Kisner a little bit with his longer irons. We're getting back to Bermuda. The thing about him is he's been putting pretty well on surfaces. He's been playing pretty good golf, usually on surfaces that he hates. He said he hates Poa, you know, and he's been getting top 15s, top 20, you know, on those different types of courses. If he can do that there, I think he can do pretty damn well this week. I think he's cash viable as well. So I like Kisner. Going down a little bit, I like Neiman. I think people are going to be off of him a little bit. One of the better longer iron guys out here. He's actually pretty damn good in the wind as well. He has a slightly lower ball flight. So I like Neiman. Going down a little bit more, I got to go back to my boy Maverick. The guy's like, I've been talking him up every week, and every week he's been doing me good. Top 10. I think we finished eighth last week, if I'm not mistaken. The guy's been playing exceptional golf, and he's been his best finishes have come on more difficult courses. So I'm in on Maverick down here. Other guys in this 7K range. I like Noren a little bit here with a little bit longer drives, really good on par fives, really good around the green. And then we're getting down a little bit lower. I like Carlos Ortiz. I think he's cash viable. He's been playing really good form. He's had good success here. His iron game has been so much improved this year. He's inside the top 25 in strokes gained approach in the last 50 rounds in this field. Really good around the greens. I'm going back to HV3 back here. He is the best from 200 plus in this field. Number one in this field from 200 plus. I think he's tied with maybe Rory, but from 200 plus, he's number one in this field in the last 50 rounds. And one flyer, Christian Bezuidenhout. This guy can play. This young boy, I know not many people have really heard of him, but he won just a couple weeks ago, I think, across the pond. He had a nice showing at the WGC event, finishing, I think, 28th, 29th, which is very respectable for one of his first WGC events out there. I like him as sort of a flyer that maybe not many people are going to talk about or play. Tam, who do you like in this lower 7K range?
Harris English right off the top, back-to-back T20s, has quite a bit of experience here. Played pretty well last week. He started off hot and then, you know, just fell apart a little bit over the next couple of days, but still finished 17th. You know, he's in form. I definitely like that. McNealy, who you mentioned, just on fire with recent form. We've been talking about him all season with, you know, Butch Harmon being his coach, Danielle Kang on the LPGA Tour being his girlfriend, pushing him. It's really worked. 11th, 27th, 5th, 15th, his last four. And then you get into some of these other guys like Moore and Glover. The one I kind of like here, you know, I like Noren, who you said, but Kevin Na, sneaky form coming in. you know, always overlooked, always, you know, has winning upside. He's won like two times in the last year and a half. So I definitely don't mind him. He's seen the course 11 times. I think he can fit the mold of, if it's a little bit more difficult weather, he can still make it happen. So I'm good with that. And then going down near the bottom, you mentioned, you know, some more of GPP flyers, but Von Taylor keeps getting it done. Played here 11 times as well, made the cut seven. I think, you know, recent form stats all line up. Carlos Ortiz, who looks to be popular, very solid stats, good as last three, two for two here. But I'm with you on Varner. We're going to stick with our boy. Followed him last week a lot, obviously, with the, you know, the Gups Corner connection, being with the foundation and getting to see him at the Pro-Am and meet him and do all that stuff was amazing. And he is on fire. He's just not making any putts. So he's striking it well. You mentioned his 200-plus long irons. It's just, it's got to all click together. But again, I can't see how he doesn't make the cut and just keep this thing rolling and get into contention again. So got to play him at 7,100. And then just to round it out, there's a couple more GPP flyers. Gooch, you know, just slow and steady, right? Played okay last week, but not the best with his putter. But he's been really good four of his last five. And then Harmon, not the best week at Honda, but long-term stats are there, and he's still making cuts. This guy makes all the cuts. So 7,000 for him is a fair price.
All right, let's move on to the 6K range, Tambo.
Yeah, Connors at the top. Really didn't have it at Honda. Most probably go away. Him and I'll do some groupings here, but him and Champ are very similar, not same games, not like that. I'm saying they're both flyers you could definitely take at 6,900 that you know you can get upside out of them. You know they've got their own attributes that will relate to this course or this game and be able to have upside. Munoz, guy I really like, getting better each week with form. T14 last week or last time out with amazing stats across the board overall that suit to this course. And then you go down from there. Neesmith, sticking with him, no worse than a 38th in his last five. Pretty much a greens and regulation monster. And he had another good week, tee to green and approach, just no putter. Let people down a little bit, but his price actually dropped to 6,800. Few more, struggling to get through it. As you can tell, our voices are both just making it to the finish line here. But Higgs, before really losing the putter at Honda, you know, where he still made the cut, mind you, he was 18th, 25th, and 9th. And tee to green approach at Honda were solid. So I do like him. I think Adam Long get a little bit of love. He got 10th here last year. Ball striking stats last week, tee to green approach were all on. He's a, you know, winner on tour. It's definitely someone you can play at 6,700. The other two I'll give that stand out, and one more at the end, you know, Nick Taylor, guy just won at Pebble, if some may forget. I think that's tough enough to do. And, you know, you can get coastal and wind and all that in the play, different coast, obviously, but stats line up and his price is way down for a guy that just won like two outings ago. So I do like him. And then give, you know, a couple groupings, Redmond and Shelton going way down, just two upside guys that can pop at any time. My boy, Sam Ryder, Denny McCarthy. And the last is Tway and Zhang, another two super risky combo guys like Redmond and Shelton that I mentioned that are just way down there at 6,200. So as you can see, like Kenny said, it does set up quite well in these large field. Like the $5 this week pays 150K up top, 70K to second. It's got a bigger field than normal. But man, I mean, you put some of these lineups in there, they definitely have upside to get there if these guys are scoring and some of them make a run. What do you got?
Yes. Speaking of Doc Redmond led the tournament in birdies after Friday and missed the cut. I think at $6,400, I'll try and take that. Hopefully he makes the cut and continues making those birdies. Yeah, you don't see that very often where the guy leads the field in birdies the first 2 days and misses the cut. And that's what Doc Redmond did. So I'll be using Doc up top. I do like Matt Wallace here a little bit. You talk about him. He had one bad hole. He had that quad on the par three on Friday, and that he missed a cut on the number because of that. And if you talk to him, I think in his interviews afterwards, and Feinberg made a good point about this, that a lot of his approaches for some reason he had three mud balls on Friday, and that sort of messed him up a little bit too. And all those balls were in the middle of the fairway. He finished top 10 here last year. Like I said, the Europeans, they do very, very well here. So I like Wallace. I like your Neesmith call down there. I like your Higgs and Taylor call. Other guys that I've thought about in this range, Champ's another guy that I think was just like Tambo, just like Bryson, you know, with that high flight, long type of drive, like the holes where you need the driver, he's going to have the advantage, and he can cut the distance on some of these dogleg holes because he gets the ball up so high. Him, Rory, and Bryson. You know, those three guys, you know, off the tee, they can make this course a lot shorter than a lot of these other guys if they want to take that risk. It just depends how heavily they want to risk it and how aggressive they're going to be. And as of now, of course, we don't know. But if they decide to be aggressive, I mean, I think it could be very, very nice for them and a good week for you, these longer guys. And you don't need to be long on this course to succeed, but it will help on those par fives. It will help on those dog legs if they can get it over the trees and stuff like that. But I mean, that's basically about it. I do like Shelton down here as well. But I think you laid it out pretty much of the guy. I'll throw a little Patrick Rogers in there as well. He's been playing good golf. Maybe a little bit of Bo Hostler as well. I feel like his game is trending upwards as well. Anybody we missed, Tambo?
You mentioned him just there. One I was going to mention was Patrick Rogers. Definitely got to talk about him. I mean, four of the last five top 35s. Form is there. Stats are there. Incoming is good. Three of his last four here made cuts with, you know, a 7th and a 20th in there. I think he sets up well, even at 140-1 for betting. Some got him at higher. And then one little feel-good story or narrative street on the way out is way down at 6,000. Brandon Matthews, sponsors exemption for first ever PGA event. I don't know if you remember this, but it was the Argentina Open last year, and you probably won't remember it because of that, but it's more of the story that went with it. He was trying to extend in a playoff, which would have got him to the Open. That's why the win was so important there. If he got the win there, he would have been in the Open. And basically what happened was there was a gentleman who had Down syndrome who yelled in his backswing, had just an inadvertent yell or screech in the back of his backswing, and he missed like a 7 or 8 foot putt. And when he found that out in the locker room, he basically almost broke down into tears, went back out, found the gentleman, gave him a big hug, wanted to make sure he felt good, said, don't worry about it, man. It's all good. As tough as that is, I mean, that's hard to go back out and do that. Obviously, the good human says you have to go and do that, and you should. But at the same time, it was just, you know, a big heart like that to show that emotion and go out and do that, signed a glove for him, all of that stuff. He's already got a full 2020 status for the Latino America Tour, but a big week here could change that. And I think that motivation says something, and, you know, good things happen to good people. So I like a good narrative street. I think it's a feel-good story. I love to see stuff like that on tour. These guys are all great guys doing great things. And yeah, Brandon Matthews at 6,000.
I do remember that. That was really good of him to do. Really class act right there. All right, so Tambo, let's move on to the betting section here.
Yeah, I got back to the normal six-pack. So I'm going to each way everything this week just because the two at the top that I'm going to use definitely require an each way. And the first one's Benny on at 45-1. I talked about... you know, I normally don't go each way over, you know, 50 or less, whatever. But, you know, at this case, he can't seem to close it up. But another T4, it could be another good week. Like I said, the motivation factor, love him. Morikawa, same thing. Not sure if he'll close it up, but definitely think he could be in the top five. So I got Morikawa each way with the top five. Answer, 60-1, love that bet. Each way, fine. Scheffler, 100, talked about the motivation. McNealy, our boy, 125. And then Sebastian Munoz. So a bunch of like longer shot. I mean, I think Rory just wraps this thing up, if we're being honest. But I'm not going to go too crazy, but I'm playing with some house money after last week. So at least get a few bets in here and see what happens. Maybe even add Rogers at 140. I still haven't decided because I missed the good number when it first came out. But, you know, that's sort of it for me. What do you got, Kenny?
I got Bryson at 18-1 this week. Xander at 18-1. Fowler at 33-1. I just have a feeling about Fowler. And I said that the other day about DJ, so take that with what you will. We'll see how that goes. Ben on 40-1, Hatton 50-1, and Answer 66-1. I'm not going any long shots this week. It's basically 66-1 and up for me this week for my bets. All right, who you got in one and done?
Yeah, just some options. I might go back to Fleetwood. I think people would just, if they didn't use him last week, they got a good result out of him, but it's not many other places I can think of. So I might use him. I didn't use him last week. And then Scott Fowler interests me because, like you said, just because the fact that I don't think many people will have him left, you could use him. And then like a Rose or a Finau if you wanted to go a little bit tier down, quote unquote.
Yeah, I think I have to use Rory. I just feel like he's just the class of this field by a large step, and so I think I'm going to use Rory this week.
Yeah, he's definitely possible. Just so there is other spots I can foresee using him, and like I said, still a good field to do it in. So I wouldn't hate that play.
All right. Hey, we miss anything, Tambo?
No, I think we got more than enough.
All right. Tell them where they can find you.
GupsCorner.com. Kenny mentioned earlier, guys, use promo code DGEN20 to get to your 20% off. Anything you can check out right now. Great time to do it. You know, like you said, Gup just nailed his final thoughts. Lots of stuff that he mentioned you can get over there, ownership projections, all that sort of stuff. And then with the Masters coming up, the Players coming up, there's some big, that's 2 to 3 millionaire makers if you count the Mega for the millionaire or for the Masters. So I think there's a lot of content, a lot of tools to be had with the new PGA tools, all kinds of cool features with those, you know, videos you can use to get in on them and learn how to use them. Other than that, check me out on Twitter at Toetag and Tambo. If you guys have anything else, just hit me up on DM there.
Yeah, just a reminder, if you like the show, if it's entertaining, if we help you out, make you some money, leave a 5-star rating, a nice review on iTunes, and it really helps us out. You can find me on Twitter at KendoVT. My article is already out on Gup's Corner. Remember, next week, we got Sundog Monkey coming on the show live from the Players. So it'll be a really, really good show. All right, guys, it's a great field. It's going to be a fun event. You know, hopefully I get to make it through and don't die of an STD that I caught this past weekend. And I'll be here next week as long as that doesn't happen. Let's do this. Let's win some motherfucking money. DGen Nation.